You know, there are some words that when you use them, they help to draw a mental picture of something. There's certain words that you use them for somebody and it immediately describes who that person is. And it helps you to have a mental picture of who that person is. If I say the word athlete, you get a mental picture of a person. You get a mental picture of whether male or female. You get an idea of what an athlete is to you. If I use the word firefighter, you get a mental picture. You get Chuck Reeves in your head immediately when I say firefighter. You get a mental picture of what that is. If I say the word seamstress, well, that's a totally different mental picture than some. But the word itself tells you something, and it paints that picture for you. If I use the word grandfather, you get a mental picture of somebody. If I use the word jokester, that person's a real jokester. You got a mental picture. Use the word frugal. Oh, okay. You get a mental picture. If you use the word retired, you get another mental picture. What about when you use the word child? Does that word fit any of these others, perhaps, that we have used? When you use the word child, all of a sudden, you got a different mental picture. Do you know God knew that about how our brains work? He ought to know that. He made our brains, right? God knew that certain words evoke certain ideas and certain thoughts in our head when they're used. And so God used different words to describe His people and to talk about His people. And He used these different words to give us just a mental picture. And so to talk about His people, sometimes God used the word sheep. Wow, sheep. You get a mental picture of what that means. All of a sudden when you have the idea that God's people are like sheep. Sometimes God in the Bible used the word saint to describe His people. Oh, well, that's a different mental picture. Sometimes He used the word servant. Okay, now I've got a different mental picture of what it is involved in being a child of God. Sometimes God used the word priest. Now I've got a different idea. But just as in the first list, sometimes God used the word child to talk about His people. You know, when we use the word child, we have a certain context. We have a certain idea. Well, obviously, when we use the word child, we're usually talking about some kind of young person. But when God used the word child to talk about us, why did He use that word? What does God mean when He uses the word sheep, or uses the word Christian, or uses the word servant, or uses the word soldier, or the word priest to talk about us? We have ideas. Why did He use the word soldier? Why did He use the word child? When you think about the word child inherently has the idea of relationship in it. If I'm the child, that makes God my father. That means that my God, not only does it talk about that kind of a relationship, but if I'm a child, that means we are all children. That means I have brothers and sisters. I'm inside of a family when God uses that word child. Sometimes not only is there a relational sense, but there is a positional sense that there's somebody who is over another person. I'm not over God. God is over me. Why does God use the word child for us? Maybe it's because the word child has inherent within it the idea of growth. That someone is in a certain growth or development stage. And eventually, hopefully, eventually they are going to grow out of it. Eventually they are going to mature out of that stage. So God looks at us as a child and He sees there's a relation, there's a position, but there's also a growth, a development that's to be involved in our lives. And so let me ask you a question. What is it that children of God need? If you're a Christian this morning, what do you need from God? And as you think about what a child of God needs, I would suggest to you that we could also ask the question, what does a child need? And similarly, there are things that a child needs that are also things that a child of God needs. That's why I've got "of God" in parentheses on the screen, that there are some things that a child needs, but also the same things that a child of God needs. And so I want to combine these together this morning. I want you to get your Bibles and turn to the book of Philippians. We're going to just be in the book of Philippians and various verses in the book of Philippians, because as I tried to think about what does a child of God need, I was drawn to a number of things that are found in the book of Philippians. But as I was thinking about this is what a child of God needs, I was also impressed with the fact that these are also things that a child needs. This month, as a part of our annual theme of Stand in the Gap, we're trying to focus this year on standing in the gap. And this month, we're talking about standing in the gap to protect our young people. What do they need? Same thing that our children need is the same thing that we need. So let me share some things that I found in the book of Philippians that I think you might find interesting. And again, we're going to approach this first of all from what does a child of God need, and then make application to this is what a child needs. First of all, the child of God needs an engaged parent. And when we talk about a child of God, you could put the word parent in quotation marks, I guess. Is your father in heaven, is your father engaged in your life? Look in chapter 1. We're going to be in the book of Philippians this whole time. Philippians chapter 1. Look in verse 6. The Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that he, God, who has begun a good work in you, what is he going to do? He will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Is your father engaged in your life? As a child of God, you need to know that your God has not left you alone. Your Father is engaged. Look at what verse 6 says. He began a good work in you, and he's still working to complete it. Look in chapter 2 and verse 13, where it says, God works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. You will not find a father more engaged in the life of his children than your Father in heaven. Aren't you thankful for that? We may think, oh no, he's in some distant place. He's not in some distant place. He's right here in your life. And he's doing everything that he can to strengthen you, complete you, and work in your life if you'll allow him. Take that and apply it to our responsibility towards our children. Children, they need an engaged parent. Mom and dad, your children need you engaged in their lives. Most of all, for their spiritual well-being. Do they need you engaged in their life so that they can have food on the table? Yeah. Do they need you engaged in their life so that they can have some clothes to wear? Yeah, they do that too. But what your children need most out of you is for you to be engaged in their lives for their spiritual well-being. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 says, talking to parents, fathers about their children, to bring them up. We've got too many children today who are bringing themselves up because we don't have enough parents. We don't have enough moms and dads engaged. And I know this morning I'm talking to some single moms and some single dads who are trying to do this all by themselves. And God bless you for don't give up on that. Don't give up on what I know it's hard. But don't give up on focusing in on the spiritual well-being of your kids. But moms and dads, I wonder how often, are you listening? Moms and dads? I wonder how often, as moms and dads, we become distracted from being that engaged parent. Where we allow good things like work to distract us from being the engaged parent that we need. Where we allow good things like our recreation and our hobbies to distract us from being the engaged parent that we need to be. Maybe for some of us, it's just our own laziness that we allow to distract us from being the engaged. Our Father in heaven is engaged. Are we engaged in our children's lives like our Father in heaven is engaged in our life? That 18 years, pick a number, we'll take 18. That 18 years that kid is in your home, that flies by Ask anybody whose old gray hair doesn't have any hair, how quickly that time passes. Don't waste those 18 years by not being engaged in the spiritual well-being of your children. They'll get out on their own. They'll make their own life choices, and some of those life choices will disappoint you. But don't you fail in instilling those things you need to instill within them by being an engaged parent. So, being an engaged parent, each of these kind of builds on the one before it. What does a child of God need? A child of God needs an engaged parent. What does a child of God need? A child of God needs clear destination and aim. Look in chapter 3, verse 14. Paul says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Christians, child of God, that's what we've got to do. What do I need? I need a destination. What's my destination? Look in verse 20. Where's my citizenship? My citizenship is in heaven. That's my destination. And my aim is set on heaven. My aim is pressing toward that goal, not allowing anything as a child of God, not allowing anything to distract me from that goal, not allowing anything to detour me. I've got my sight set on heaven. We sang about it. Sing to me of heaven. And I won't deviate from it. If you're a child of God, that's where we need to be focused. I know the devil has a way of getting your eyes to come down from that, right? I know the devil has a way of saying, hey, looky over here, looky over here. And we ought to tell the devil, I'm not interested in looking at what you want me to look at. I'm fixing my eyes on heaven. If that's what a child of God needs, what does your child need? Your child needs clear destination and aim. Your child needs you to help them to set their eyes on heaven. Psalm 127 in verse 4 describes your children like arrows in the hand of a mighty warrior. So are one's children. Why does the Bible describe our children like arrows? Talk about mental pictures, right? Why does the Bible describe our children like arrows? What does a warrior do with those arrows? He aims them and he shoots them in a certain direction. Parents, what are you doing with your arrows? Where are you aiming them? Sometimes we aim at all sorts of things in this life. We want our children to be popular. We want our children to be accepted. We want our children to be smart. We want our children to get a good education. We want our children to get a good job. And so we pull back that arrow, and that's where we aim them. That's where we aim them. When your children leave your home, will they have felt like they have been aimed towards heaven or aimed towards success in this life? Which one? Everything we do as parents, without exception, everything we do needs to set our children on the goal of heaven. Is it? Is that our goal? Even when we're trying to help them to get an education, to get a job, to get out of our house after all, is our aim to help them do all of that or just to help them get to heaven? Child of God needs clear destination and aim. Child in your home, that's what they need. So how do we reach that clear destination and aim? Again, these build upon the previous one. So how do we reach that clear destination and aim? A child of God needs fixed priorities. Look in chapter 1, verse 21 of the book of Philippians. Child of God needs a fixed priority to reach our destination. Paul says in verse 21 of chapter 1, for to me to live is what? What is for me to live? For me to live, he says, here's his priority. Is Christ. And that priority, he said, is fixed. It's not moving. As a child of God, we need to make sure that we have set the most important things in our life truly as the most important things in our life. Sometimes there are things that come along that distract us from the most important things. Like, we've got to have priorities that are set. Look in chapter 3. I love what he says in chapter 3, verse 13. I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Paul, you don't seem distracted. No, I've got my sight on one thing, forgetting those things are behind and pressing forward to the things that are ahead. One thing, priorities, not letting go. As a child of God, do I need those? I need them. What does my child at home need? My child at home needs fixed priorities. Your kids need to know what is most important in your home. And they need to know that whatever is most important in your home will not be compromised. That you're unyielding on whatever is most important in your home. Some children are raised in homes. And you say, what does that child think is the most important thing in this family? Maybe the television? Maybe sports? What do the children think is the most important? Maybe it's, and you go down the line of families that you know. What is a child in this home, in this family, what do they think is most important? And they're going to learn that not just by your words. They're going to learn that by your actions, by your example. Moms and dads, have we fixed the priorities in our home to be set on the church? Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That wasn't a suggestion. It was a command. Have we done that? But that verse doesn't just say the church. It's not just talking about His kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. Is that a priority? A fixed priority in our home that we're not willing to yield, that we're not willing to compromise. What God says is right, and we won't change it. Are Sundays a priority? Disciples on the first day of the week, Acts 20, verse 7. Disciples came together to break bread. That was a priority for them. Is it a priority for me? Or might we compromise it every once in a while? Something comes up, you know, this once in a lifetime, once in a, you know, blue moon. This isn't going to happen all that often, so it's okay. Is it a fixed priority that will not budge? When your children see you budging on priorities, they see that there's something more important than that priority. Your children are smart. Your children are observant. And they're going to learn things from you that you hope they would never learn, but they're going to learn it by observation. What do children need? What do we need? We need in our lives an engaged parent. We need in our lives a clear destination name. What do we need? We need fixed priorities to help us to stay with that clear destination name. Well, how do I keep my priorities fixed? You know what a child of God needs? He needs boundaries. He needs boundaries that are established by rules. Come back to chapter 1. Look at what Paul prays for these Christians in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. He says, this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in what? Knowledge. Knowing what is right, and all discernment, being able to decide and distinguish between what's right and what's wrong. Verse 10, that you may approve the things that are excellent. You know what we need as a child of God? As a child of God, I need rules. The passage that Keith read from chapter 3 and verse 16, the translation he used, talked about it walking after the same standard. New King James uses the word rule over there. As children of God, we need rules. We need God to give us rules so that it can set for us well-defined boundaries. Do you know God has done that for us? God has set up boundaries for us that tell us here's what is acceptable, here's what is approved to God, and outside of that is, that's not approved unto God. That's why Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, let us not go beyond that which is written. Because what is written, that tells us what's approved and acceptable in the eyes of God, what God allows. And so anything outside of that, no, that's not what God wants. So it's a child of God. As a child of God, I might say, I don't like rules. As a child of God, I might say, I don't need boundaries, I'm okay. No. As a child of God, I need boundaries. I need God, my Father, my engaged parent. I need Him to set boundaries, to tell me what is allowed and not allowed. And He does that by setting up rules, commandments, requirements for me to follow. Well, guess what our children need? They need the same thing. Kids need boundaries. Where do those boundaries come from? They come from having rules inside of our homes. Where do those rules come from? Those rules come from fixing our priorities. When we have fixed priorities that are saying we're aiming towards heaven and we fix our priorities on what is most important and we won't yield or we won't compromise on that, it follows rules that have these boundaries that say, nope, we're only going to do this right here within this boundary that we have set, and we are, as this family, we are not going to go outside of that boundary. Our children need to know what is right and what is wrong. They need to have a clear distinction between what is right and what is wrong. And we need to help them to walk down the path of doing what is right. They need to have that. Look over in Deuteronomy chapter 6 for just a second. I know Robert looked at the early verses of Deuteronomy chapter 6 last week. And so I want us to look at the latter verses of Deuteronomy chapter 6 today. And in the early verses of Deuteronomy chapter 6, the instruction that's given by God to Moses, to the children of Israel in verse 7, is that you need to teach your children diligently. Everything that God says, you need to teach it to your children diligently. So by your words, you teach them diligently. Drop down to verse 17, Deuteronomy 6, verse 17. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God. Do you see the same word, diligently? So verse 7 says, use your words and diligently teach, 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 teach. But verse 17 says, okay, diligently still, but now you've got to do, do, do. Not, don't just tell your kids something. Let them see you doing what you've told. These are the boundaries. These are what God has set up. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies and statutes which he has commanded you. Verse 18, and you shall do what is, what does your Bible say? What is right and good in the sight of who? Not what's popular in society. You shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord. Why? So that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land of which the Lord your God swore to your fathers, to cast out your enemies before you as the Lord has spoken. Verse 20, pay attention. Verse 20, when your son, when your child asked you in time to come, saying, hey mom, hey dad, what's the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? You get it? Verse 7, you're teaching your children what God has said. Verse 17, you're doing the things that God has said. And so your children will come to you, God says in verse 20, and the children are going to ask, why are we doing this? Mom and Dad, why do you do this? Why do you do that as a Christian? Why do we not do this as Christians? Why am I not allowed to do this? Verse 21, then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. The Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against Egypt and Pharaoh and all of his household. Verse 23. Then he brought us out from there. Why? That he might bring us in here to the promised land, to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. Our God has been, when our children ask, what do? You say, our God has been working in our lives. Our father, our engaged parent has been working in our lives to bring us into this place that is so much better from where we were in slavery and bondage. Verse 24. Sometimes we have quoted verse 24, but put it in context. What's the context? Here's what you're telling your children. You're telling your children, verse 24, the Lord commanded us to observe all of these statutes. God told us to do this, to fear the Lord our God. And why are we doing that? For our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. What do we do is with our children? We help them to not hate what God says, not question what God says, not doubt what God says, not say, oh, that's what God wants me to do. I want to do something different. We want to help them to fall in love with what God says by our words and by our actions, so that when we have an opportunity to explain, here's why we do this, God did all of this for us. He saved us. What else would we want to do but to do what our God wants and to live within the boundaries that he has given? Why does God give boundaries in verse 24? What do we need to teach our children? Why does God give boundaries? For our good. How often? Always. Well, I don't understand God's boundaries. Did your kids ever understand your boundaries? Well, I don't know why we have to. What'd you tell your kids? I don't care if you understand why. This is what we're going to do in this family. We don't have to understand all of God's boundaries. When God sets those boundaries, what's our responsibility? Respect and obey them. Your children need those boundaries. Parents, they need those rules. They need you to hem them in. They need the same thing we as children of God need. They need ongoing instruction and training. Come back to Philippians chapter 1. What does a child of God need? A child of God needs ongoing training. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, Paul writes to the church and he says, you know what? Here he is writing in prison. He says, whether I come to you or remain absent, I want to hear about what you're doing, that you're striving together for the faith of the gospel. Why would they be doing that? Because early in the verse, he says that they're following after the same Spirit of God and the teachings of God. These children of God in Philippi needed an ongoing training. They needed ongoing instruction. It's not just that they had learned something in order to become a Christian, and that's all that they ever needed. As a child of God, if you're a Christian this morning, does that growth ever stop? If you're a Christian, do you ever reach a maturity level and you're like, wow, I'm as mature as I'm ever going to get. As a Christian, I don't need to go any further. If you've ever said that, that's a pretty immature thing to say, right? Because we have an ongoing growth as Christians, which means I have an ongoing need for instruction and training from God, because there's always more for me to learn, always more for me to apply in my life. Guess what your children need? Your children need the same thing. Your children need that ongoing training, that ongoing discipline. And that's what Ephesians 6 and verse 4 says. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition, or the training and the instruction of the Lord. Your children need you on a daily basis to be teaching them, here's what we do and why we do it, because this is what God said. Your children need on an ongoing basis for you to be teaching them some key lessons in life. What kind of key lessons? It's always right to do right. It's always wrong to do wrong. Is that a key lesson in life? It's never right to do wrong. It's never wrong to do right. Why? Because the Bible is right. Your children need to learn from the very youngest of ages, the Bible is always right. They need to learn key lessons. They need to learn key lessons about respect for authority. You know why our world is so messed up today? A lot of reasons for that. You know why our world is messed up today? There's a lot of people that have no respect for authority. Well, where'd that come from? Some of them from their very earliest of ages. They were not taught to respect the authority of their parents. They were not taught to respect the authority of their teachers. They were not taught to respect the authority of their coaches. They were not taught to respect the authority of governing authorities. They were not taught to respect the authority of elders. They were not taught, and you just keep going. And when children are not taught to respect authority in their young ages, when it comes to them having a relationship with God, guess what? They're not going to respect His authority either. Key lessons in life they need to learn. They needed to learn key lessons in life, Philippians 1 and verse 12, that whatever happens to us in this life, we need to further the gospel. We need to be God's light in this world. They need to learn key lessons in life, Philippians 2 verses 3 and 4, about abandoning selfishness. If your children are selfish, there's a way to remove that from them, and it starts on the backside. All right? If your children practice selfishness, there's... And we'll talk about that more in just a minute. We've got to abandon selfishness. We've got to instill that within them, that Jesus came, and even Jesus did not do things out of His own selfish ambition or conceit. And if Jesus didn't, who am I to do it? We've got to teach our children to serve other people. As much as depends on you. The Bible says, do good unto all men, but especially those of the household of faith, Galatians 6 and verse 10. Selflessness means I need to look out for others and their needs, Philippians 2 and verse 4, and do unto others as I would have them do unto me. But the first part of the golden rule is do unto others, serving them. I need to teach my children to learn the value of contentment, Philippians 4, verses 11 and 12. I need to teach my children all of these valuable lessons of life. By the way, here's a valuable lesson of life. Philippians 2 and verse 14. Print that out and put it on your refrigerator. Here's a lesson of life. Do all things without complaining and murmuring. Make that a memory verse in your house. Our children need the same thing that we as children of God need. Ongoing instruction and training, which sets up those boundaries that God has put in place, which helps us to remain fixed to those priorities that we have set, because what we want to do is to reach our destination of heaven. What happens, even as a child of God, what happens when I break those rules? What happens when I go outside that boundary? What happens when I go against this ongoing training? Well, what do I need? I need correction. I need discipline. And it's right here in the book of Philippians. Look in chapter 4. We don't know what was going on, but for some reason, Paul calls out two women in Philippians chapter 4 in verse 2 because of some issue that was going on between them. I implore Euodia, verse 2, and I implore Syntyche. Note that he uses the word implore twice. I'm talking to you, yes, and I'm talking to you. I don't know what's going on here, but something so much that the Holy Spirit calls out these two women to say, I implore you and I implore you, be of the same mind. And if you all can't work it out, verse 3, I also urge you, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel. I don't know what's going on there, but there's something going on there that required Paul to call out their actions to say, get this worked out. As children of God, what do we need? Sometimes we need correction. When we have strayed and stepped outside of the boundaries, stepped outside of those commandments that God has given to us, sometimes we need that correction. Sometimes we need that discipline. Guess what our children need? Our children need to know that actions have consequences. They're going to learn that one of these days. They're going to learn that lesson. Actions have consequences. They're going to learn that one of these days. Where better to learn it than in your home where you can teach them that lesson, rather than then learning that the hard way when they get out in the world? Actions have consequences. And in our home, when you do something, when an action that you engage in takes you outside of the boundaries that we have set up, breaks that priority and breaks the commandment that we have set up that God has given us in our home, do we just say, oh, no big deal? When our children do not listen to us, when our children do not obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, do we say, oh, isn't that so cute? Isn't that cute? They just kind of got a mind of their own. It's not cute when children disobey their parents. It's not cute when children are disrespectful to those who are older. I know you know these verses, but I want to read just a couple of these. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. The Bible says, he who spares discipline, he who spares correction, hates his son. Well, I don't hate my children. The Bible says, if I don't correct them, if I don't discipline them, I hate them. But he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Look over in chapter 19, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18. Chasten your son, discipline him, correct your son while there is hope. But don't set your heart on his destruction. People have misunderstood the nature of spanking these days and they want to make it abuse. Well, if it's done wrong, it's abuse. If it's done right, it's correction. It's chastening. It is discipline. Look over in chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15. Correction, discipline, rebuke. You know what it gives according to that verse? It gives, sorry, I thought I had these verses on the screen. It gives wisdom. It gives wisdom? You mean when I spank my kids, when I rebuke my kids, when I correct my kids, when I discipline my kids? God says, back in chapter 13 and verse 24, God says, if I don't do that, I hate them. But chapter 29 and verse 15, he says, when I do it, I'm giving them wisdom. I'm helping them to learn the difference between right and wrong. I'm helping them to learn to want to do right and to not want to do that which is wrong. But when I refrain from correction and discipline, they don't learn. They do not become wise, and a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. You know what I need as a child of God? When I've strayed from where God wants me to be, I need correction and discipline so I can get back right with God. What if I don't receive that correction and discipline? I may never be right with God again. Do we want our children? Do we want our children to be right with God? When they step outside of those boundaries, there need to be consequences. There needs to be correction and discipline. Final thing this morning is that what our children need is what we need as children of God. We need positive influences. Go back to the book of Philippians. Throughout the book of Philippians, you see this. And we don't have time to look at all these positive influences, but they're just throughout. And I only put a few here. There could be more. Look at Philippians chapter 1, where Paul in verse 5 talks about the fellowship that they enjoyed in the gospel, he and these Christians. Look at verse 8, where he says, I greatly long for you all. There was a relationship that these Christians had with each other. Look over in chapter 4 and verse 1 where he calls these Christians, you are my beloved and you are my longed for brethren. These Christians had a special bond. Why? Because when somebody becomes a Christian, God takes that Christian and he puts them in his church. He doesn't put them into isolation chamber somewhere. He puts them into his church. They become a part of his family, part of his body. And as a part of that body, they are surrounded by positive influences. Are your children surrounded by positive influences in this church? Are you surrounded by positive influences in this church? Back in chapter 1, verse 14, Paul says there were some Christians who were more bold to preach the gospel because of what they had seen in Paul. Are some Christians in this church more bold to serve the Lord because of what they see in you? We need positive influences. We need to be stirring each other up to love and good works. Hebrews 10 verse 24 says, so the very thing that we need as a child of God is what our children need. Mom and Dad, your kids need. They need genuine, real, meaningful connections with people in this church. They will not get that if they're only here on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. They're not going to get real meaningful connections with people in this church if that's the only time they're around people in this church. When your kids graduate and leave, they leave your home. They graduate and leave this city, perhaps. They graduate and get out on their own. Will they have any connections to the church other than you? If you, your husband, your wife, your children, their siblings, if that's their only connection to the church, why do they want to be a part of the church? But when they're able to build relationships with children their own age, when after the amen this morning, there are little children who run out to the grass in order to play with each other, that's like the best part of the day for them. They're getting to hang out with their church friends. Your kids need time with church friends, not just on Sundays. They need time with their church friends throughout the week. They need you to be intentional about setting up, and not just their church friends their age. There are kids in this church who are very young, but they have friends in this church who are 2, 3, 4, 5 times as old, 10 times as old, 20 times as old, some of them, as they are. They've got friends in this church who are much older than they are, and they call them their friends. Mom and Dad, that's what your kids need. They need you to help them to have positive influence. Do your kids have negative influences? To ask the question is the answer to the question, right? Do your kids have negative influences? How many positive influences can you put around your kids besides yourself? Believe it or not, one of these days your kids are going to become teenagers and they won't want to listen to anything you have to say. One of these days your kids are going to grow up and get out on their own. They're going to think my parents are the dumbest people in the world. But if they've got connections with other real Christians that they've built a friendship with, who can talk to them and have an influence on them, their life will be for the better. What do we as children of God need? What's interesting, what a child of God needs is the same thing as what your child needs. And as we think about raising our children today, as we think about standing in the gap to protect our kids, may God help us to be engaged in every facet of that, to give them the very best possibility that they have of going to heaven when they leave our home. As we think about your relationship with God, let me ask you this final question, and that is, are you a child of God? We've talked about what it means to be a child of God this morning, but are you a child of God? Do you know that you're a child of God? In order to be a child of God, you've got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But John 1 verse 12 says that gives you the right to become a child of God, but you're not a child of God yet. Salvation's not by faith alone, but it puts you on the right track. When you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, it'll cause you to look at yourself differently. It'll cause you to look at the sin in your life and say, hang on a second. If my sin put Jesus on the cross, I don't want my sins anymore. I want to turn away from my sins and turn my life in the direction of God. That's what the Bible calls repentance. And if you're ready to make that decision today, that says, I'm ready to repent, turn away from my sin, turn my life in the direction of God, you can do what they did in the New Testament. You can confess the faith that's in your heart. And today, you don't have to wait for another day. You don't have to wait until a more convenient time. Today, you can be baptized into Christ. There's water here, garments here, towels here. This very day, you can be baptized so that you can become a child of God. So God can wipe away all of your sins and write your name in heaven. If you've never done that, why don't you resolve today to do that? Don't linger anymore. Resolve right now. I'm going to give my life to the Lord. And resolve today that as a Christian, I'm going to obey my Father. As a Christian, I'm going to look for those boundaries that God has set up where God wants me to live. No, it's for my good always, and say, that's where I'm going to live. That's where I'm faithfully going to serve my God. If this church can help you, if you need to be baptized this morning, if you need to repent of sin that's in your life, this church can help you get your life right with the Lord. Why don't you come right now as together we stand and sing.